be it the stage or the screen, Kenny Leon is one of the most astute directors of his generation. He's even directed theater for the screen, including The Wiz and Hairspray for NBC. And while he spends most of his time making productions elsewhere, Atlanta will always be his home. This is where he started True Colors Theater Company, a theater company committed to diversity and inclusivity. And during one of those rare times home, Kenny stopped by WABE to talk about all of his recent projects, starting with Children of a Lesser God, a revival that he hopes to take to Broadway.
What they used to call in the old days, the tryout is going to be at the Berkshire Theater Festival. We start rehearsal next week. So we'll have hopefully most of the Broadway cast doing it. Joshua Jackson from the show The Affair and from Dawson's Creek, he's playing the lead. And then I have this wonderful multiracial woman, Lauren Ritloff, who actually was deaf since birth. And I started taking classes from her. Because I knew I was attached to this Broadway show, and I was taking classes just to learn a little bit of sign language. Well, 2 years later, now she is playing the lead in the Broadway production. So she is just incredibly talented, confident, smart, sexy, just, you know, and she helped me realize what the play is really about. And the play is how we marginalize our relationships, how we try to pretend we're God and make each other over in our image, and trying to have that substitute as communication or listening and talking to each other. And I was like, wow, that's such a universal message. It's like, you know, it's like Democrat to Republican. It's black to white. It's deaf community to hearing community. It's like all of that together. And it ends up, I now have a better grasp of what that play could mean to the world. So I'm so excited. It's a funny play. And I keep telling the PR folks, I said, it's not a play trying to be politically correct about hard of hearing and death. And it's some of that, but it's really just a play. It's a love story. Mm. It's two beautiful people that you want to get together, and they're just not communicating. And that can apply to any relationship.
Kenny, you have this very embracing, inclusive attitude toward theater and how it can not only bring greater meaning to individuals' lives, but help unite people. Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking a lot about something you told me once, because a friend of mine once said that I couldn't fully appreciate August Wilson in the way that someone who's African American can. And your response, you told me the universal is in the specific. Mm-hmm. Lately, there's been a lot of discussion and controversy about cultural appropriation. I do think that there's a point at which there is a universal experience, and hopefully empathy is what helps us achieve that. Have you thought differently about cultural appropriation?
I love being in a country that celebrates diversity, and diversity in every way. Diversity of thinking, diversity of culture, race, respect for others. And I think that I believe in a country, I believe in a democracy. And I think in a democracy, it's about freedom. And we have to protect that at all costs. So there are many things that I wouldn't agree with someone else on or about. But I think that a person should be allowed to write, paint, talk about whatever they wish, as long as they're not physically harming someone. And when that person does what they want to do, then it inspires another person. You know, you can respond to that in your work of art. So I think it's totally appropriate for a human being to have an artistic expression about anything in society or any other culture or race. You know, we can't just marginalize what we think someone should do. I think that's how you get to the beauty. So, you know, the last line in Children of a Lesser God is, "I'll help you if you help me." And I think that's the most beautiful way to approach life. You know, so we're going to step on each other's toes once in a while. But it's like, you know, of course you could know, Lois, you could know what it is to be a black male. I couldn't know what it is to be you. But if I say to you, "I'll help you if you help me," that's beautiful. You know, whether we're talking, we're painting, we're singing.
Speaking of August Wilson,
mm-hmm.
You're the keeper of his legacy.
I am not.
Yeah, you are.
No, I am not.
Oh, Kenny, I remember when he was here, was it 05, 04?
When it was before that. Whenever we started the company, 2003, he toasted True Colors Theater Company into existence. So he was here. I was just looking at some pictures yesterday of him on stage here. He flew in from Seattle and was a part of our very first production, which was Fences.
And I know that you took issue when I said, well, he anointed you. You were offended by that. But you know I was.
I remember August said to me one time, I said, "August, you're my hero." He said, "Oh, man, that's a heavy burden to be Kenny Leon's hero. I'm gonna have to work up on that." And he took it serious. Like, he was that kind of man, you know.
And you have continued his legacy, not only with directing his plays, presenting the entire cycle, but with the August Wilson monologue competition.
Absolutely.
And your work with young people.
That's one of the most things I'm excited about at True Colors Theater Company, because selfishly, when August died, I never thought he would die, but when the cancer got him, I said, you know, Todd Kreitler, who was my associate at the time, we said, "How can we keep him alive?" And we're like, "Wow, you know, like Shakespeare, let's do a monologue competition. You know, he has 10 plays. No other American writer has that." And we started that with one school in Atlanta, Georgia, that True Colors supported. And now we sponsor the national competition in New York. We have 12 cities where we fly young people in from all of these cities to New York on August Wilson's birthday week to have them to meet, you know, some famous people, to see a couple of Broadway shows, and then they compete at the August Wilson Theater on Broadway on that Monday night. And we just finished last week, and it is growing. It is so beautiful to see these kids step off an airplane and to see them. You know, last year we took them to see Hamilton, you know, and Lin-Manuel came out, and Chris Jackson came out, the cast came out and spoke with them, and they went to see A Color Purple, and Jennifer Hudson came out and took selfies with them. And this year we took them to see Groundhog's Day, the musical, and we took them to see the Pulitzer Prize winning Lynn Nottage's Sweat. You know, so it's a program that keeps growing, you know, and like I said, selfishly, we started it just in a way to keep my friend alive.
A living legacy.
But now it's just like to see these young people, to see them put these words in their mouths and to say these plays teach them about America and citizenship and what they are owed as American citizens, even if they're poor, even if their first language is Spanish, even if they're black, even if they're white, you know, America belongs to all of us. So that's what the plays continue to teach, and these young people keep carrying it into the world. And when I walk down the street and I see one of them from 5 years ago, or even the girl from the first year who went on to Juilliard, and then she was in a Broadway show, or I walk down the street in New York and someone taps me on the back and says, "Hey, Uncle Kenny, remember me? I was in the August Wilson monologue competition. Yeah, now I'm going to college in Pittsburgh." And, you know, so it's selfishly, it's a good feeling to know that you're helping young folks understand things a little better at the beginning of their professional and academic lives.
So tell us about the Abbott Award.
Oh, you heard about that. The Mr. Abbott Award is the George Abbott Award, which it was great that I received that this year. And, you know, it's they give that award out every 2 years from the Directors Union for stage directors and choreographers, and people like Mike Nichols and George Wolfe and James Lapine have been honored with that, and Jerry Mitchell. And so this year, I was given that award, and I take it pretty seriously because George Abbott lived to be 107.
Oh, and, wow.
So it's a Lifetime Achievement Award, and he lived to be like 106. He was working, I mean, lived to be 107. He worked until he was like 106 on Broadway. So I was like, that's kind of how I want to go out. but it's about directors who have done film and television and community work and mentorship. And actually, it was like being at your own funeral, except you were alive and you can talk to people.
Kenny, it was pointed out by more than one writer how young you are to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award. That must have been especially humbling.
Well, God bless him. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I do think that my best work is still ahead. Absolutely. I mean, and I'm not just saying that. I really do think I'm learning and I'm becoming a better director. I'm choosing better projects that I think land in people's hearts and minds, and I think I'm better. So I'm curious to see how my work progresses from here on out.
What has helped you learn more as a director?
I do the things that I'm telling actors to do. I think the best actors are the actors that listen well. Denzel Washington, Viola Davis, they're the best listeners. And bad actors try to figure out what they're going to say and how they're going to say it. Good actors listen and then just open their mouths. So I'm learning how to listen. I'm learning how to learn across experiences, like what I learned on the TV side, how to bring that experience to the stage side, how to take the lessons on the stage and with stage actors and take that to the film side. So, and I'm sort of realizing that it's sort of all the same. You know, I have a cinematic approach to theater, so I can take that and apply that elsewhere.
So with the increasing demand for your work on Broadway, in other regional theaters, TV, film, why do you continue True Colors? And why are we lucky enough to have you remain in Atlanta?
Well, first of all, I don't have enough work yet. You know, you talked to my assistant, Jacob. I was like, I like being busy all the time. Like, I can do it. But I love Atlanta and I love True Colors because it's my artistic home. And it's where you can call elected officials by their first names. And it's where you can sit on the porch and wave to folks. It's where you can, I love the churches here. I'm a golfer. I love the golf courses here. Even though I was born in Tallahassee, Florida, Atlanta's the place I consider home. So this will always be home. So even though I'm gone 65-70% of the time, I'm still home. My bed is here in Atlanta. And also it gives me a chance as an artist, like when I want to get back on stage and act, you know, this is where I come. Like last year, Felicia Rashad and I did same time next year. And then I'm directing Holly If You Hear Me this year in September for the company. So every 18 months or so, I'll do something personally here. So it's my artistic home, it's my political home, I went to college here, I grew up here, and I think my greatest fans are here.